Grace and peace to you in God, who is our Father and our Mother, and in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Did any of you notice coming into church today the chalk written above the church door? Last Sunday, a number of us gathered in the fellowship hall to learn about an Epiphany tradition called chalking the door. It's an old practice, started and practiced mostly in the Roman Catholic Church, of blessing the home by writing above the door a series of letters and numbers, which you can see here. The numbers indicate the year, and the letters, CMB, come from the traditional names for the wise men, Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar, whose coming we remember on Epiphany. The letters are also, and I love this, an abbreviation for Christus Mansionem Benedicat, not good Latin, which means may Christ bless this dwelling. Of inviting of God into our lives. I read about it at some length before we did the meeting last week, and one bishop said she writes it on the inside of her door so that every time she goes out, she remembers that she is to bring Jesus into the world. We have entered the season of Epiphany, a season which centers on the revelation of Christ as the Son of God and the light of the world. The story of the wedding at Cana begins this season because it is the first of the signs that Jesus performed. The continuing revelation in John's gospel of who Jesus is and why he has come. Chapters 2 to 12 in John's gospel are sometimes called the book of signs. John tells stories of people encountering Jesus in various ways that reveal who Jesus is and why he has come. Some of these encounters are called signs, turning water into wine, feeding the 5,000, and walking on the sea, and a number of healing stories. The sign itself is often followed by a description of what the sign means and how the people involved respond to the sign. The disciples believed in Jesus. In the coming weeks, as we read through the Gospel of John, we will explore a number of these encounters with Jesus, including these signs. The signs in John's Gospel operate on two levels. They are symbolic, pointing beyond the story to say something about Jesus. But they are also material events and encounters that happen in real-world settings and in community. We might call the signs miracles, which highlights kind of the supernatural aspect of these encounters. But for John, it wasn't that supernatural aspect that is important. John wants us to know that the power Jesus uses comes from God, that it reveals Jesus as the Word made flesh, who uses his power always to work for God's mission of abundant life for all people. So within the set of all the signs that Jesus does, I've sometimes wondered if the wedding at Cana really fits. Compared to healing or the miraculous feeding of 5,000, it seems a bit frivolous. Yet, perhaps, that ordinary life feel is exactly what makes this a good sign to start with. As the Word made flesh, Jesus participates in community life. He shares the daily concerns of human life, such as celebrating together, enjoying good food and wine, avoiding the shame that would come to the family with a failure of hospitality like running out of wine. There is a message in this sign, in the amount of wine, 120 gallons of wine, friends. And in the quality of wine, which is excellent, Jesus provides for the people, and he provides abundantly, and he provides for their enjoyment and pleasure. I can hear in this an echo of the psalm, which reminds us that the God who stretched out the heavens like a tent and set the earth on its foundations is also the God who brings forth food from the earth and wine to gladden the human heart and oil to make the face shine. It reminds us of the God who, through the prophet Isaiah, invites us, "Hear, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price." Jesus is one with this God of providence and abundance. Jesus, the Logos who was present at the creation of the world, works in and through the stuff of this world to give blessing. In her commentary on this story, Professor Jennifer Brooks reminds us that this first sign happens not in a religious setting, but in a social one, a party. She writes, "I think it's a good reminder that our Christian faith is expressed in our ordinary relationships, and not only when we gather as the church. Jesus engaging with his community in a fun activity and taking actions that revealed his glory cues us to consider our Christian witness as being appropriate in all aspects of life and worthy of being carried out in ways that give glory to God whenever, wherever, and however we gather in community. Just as we know that Jesus is with us in all the moments of our ordinary lives, all the changes and challenges that come to us, we can also seek to witness to Jesus in all of the parts of our daily lives. Yesterday, I was at a town hall meeting offered by some West Side legislators wearing my Lutheran Advocacy Ministry pin. And Representative Joy Garrett shared a story. They were talking about the modernization of the New Mexico legislature and how long they've been working at it with just a little progress made. And Joy Garrett told a story that years ago, when she was new to the House, a bill she had supported had not passed, and she had been very upset by that. When she ran into Ruth Hoffman, who is the director of Lutheran Advocacy Ministry. And Ruth encouraged her to keep at it, reminding her that it took 10 years to repeal the death penalty, that sometimes you just have to keep on keeping on. I was just delighted. How wonderful to have our faith-based advocacy lifted up that way in that forum. It wasn't Representative Garrett's point, but I thought, this reminds everyone in the room that people of faith engage in community in positive and life-giving ways. We write letters and make phone calls to our legislators. We gather food for people in our neighborhood who are hungry, blankets and jackets for those who are cold. We practice kindness and give people the benefit of the doubt when we're out there in the world on these difficult days, knowing that each person is God's beloved child, and God's wish for them is abundant life. We put chalk on our doorway, reminding us that our life of faith is part of our ordinary, everyday life, blessed by the one who became flesh to live among us. Perhaps in this way, we too can be signs. Signs that point beyond ourselves to the one who created us, who loves and sustains us. Our community can be a sign of God's inclusive love, empowered by the Holy Spirit, living out God's vision of abundant life for all. May it be so. Amen. Amen.